بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبا القاسم محمد. طب القلوب والجوارح والصائم وضيائها، وعلى اهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الصالحين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولايه سيدي ومولاي علي بن ابي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا ان هدانا الله. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا ابا عبد الله، وعلى الارواح التي حلت بفنائك واناقت برحمتك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله ابدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله اقل لحظي مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى اولاد الحسين وعلى اصحاب الحسين، خصوصا سيدي ومولاي ابو فضل العباس جميعا ورحمه الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا ابا عبد الله، اني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وعدو لمن عاداكم وولي لمن ولاكم. We begin with our journey with the soldiers and the companions of Abu Abdullah, remembering the dream of Rasulullah and remembering an incident when Rasulullah was approached on the deathbed of Khadija. We will begin from here until we narrate the journey from Karbala towards Kufa and the journey from Kufa towards Sham. The journey from Sham back to Karbala and the journey from Karbala back towards Medina. Brothers and sisters, join us in our journey with the remainders of Al Muhammad alone on a night like this in Karbala. We begin by remembering Rasulullah when Rasulullah is burying Khadija. Khadija, who has given everything away towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah tries to bury Khadija and he tries to put a kafan on Khadija, but because of the poverty of Rasulullah at the time and because Khadija had given everything away, the kafan that he has only went halfway up her body. At this moment Rasulullah tried to cover her body halfway, tried to cover the full length, but he couldn't cover the full length. He then approached Khadija from the top of the body and tried to cover half her body, but he couldn't. He then called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya Allah, bear witness that I have tried to cover the body of Khadija. But Ya Allah, bear witness that the kafan which I have is not long enough to cover the body of Khadija. Ya Allah, please help me at this moment. At this moment, Jibreel comes towards Aba Abdullah and he says, Ya Aba Abdullah, he comes towards Rasulullah and he says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent you 5 kafans. Rasulullah looks at Jibreel and he says, Jibreel, who are these 5 kafans for? At this moment, Jibreel says, the first kafan is for Khadija in order that you are able to cover her body. At this moment, Rasulullah says, Jibreel, can you tell me who the second kafan is for? Jibreel says, Ya Rasulullah, the second kafan is for you in order that your body is covered when you pass away. He says, Jibreel, who is the third kafan for? He replies, Ya Rasulullah, the third kafan is for Fatima al-Zahra. After the door is pushed on her and she is alone behind the door, he says, Jibreel, tell me who the fourth kafan is for. He says, Ya Rasulullah, the fourth kafan is for Ali ibn Abi Talib, that when he is struck on the 19th of Ramadan, you are able to cover him. He is able to be covered on the 21st of Ramadan. He says, Jibreel, tell me who is the fifth kafan for. He says, Ya Rasulullah, the fifth kafan is for Imam Hassan. That's when he is poisoned by Ja'da, the fifth kafan will cover him. He says to him, Jibreel, tell me where is the kafan for Aba Abdullah. He says to him, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that Aba Abdullah died without a kafan.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want them to rip off the kafan of Abu Abdullah when he lay on the ground on the night of the 11th of Muharram. But ya Rasulullah, shall I tell you what they did to Abu Abdullah? Rasulullah says to him, Jibreel, inform me, what did they do to Abu Abdullah? He says to him, on the 10th of Muharram, Shimr bin Al-Jawshan beheaded Abu Abdullah. He then says to him, Jibreel, tell me, what did they do to Abu Abdullah? He says, on the night of the 11th of Muharram, Abu Abdullah remained alone on the lands of Karbala, while Shaf al-Furat continued to flow. He did not have any of it in his purse. He says to him, Ya Rasulallah, let me explain to you exactly what happened on the night of the 11th of Muharram. Fadla comes towards Lady Zainab. She says to her, Lady Zainab, I saw something greater and something that will hurt you more than you've ever been hurt before. She says to her, Fadla, how can I be hurt when I have seen Abu Abdullah beheaded on the 10th of Muharram? She says, no, Lady Zainab, I will tell you something that will make you cry more than you've ever cried before. She says, sir, Fadla, tell me, what is it? She says, Lady Zainab, Umar bin Sa'd was sitting next to his soldiers. He looked at his soldiers and he said, oh my soldiers, I order you now, after Abu Abdullah has been killed, to go on your horses and trample on the body of Abu Abdullah. He says, 10 of you go and trample on his body. She says, Lady Zainab, I remember the story that one day a lion came to see your father. When the lion came to see your father began to speak with him. Your father ended the conversation and I came to your father and I said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, what did you say to that lion? Amir al-Mu'mineen looked at me and said, Zainab, my Ghaffa, my servant, I just saw this lion and this lion's wife was not feeling well. So the lion asked me for some help and I helped him. Then the lion said to me, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, if at any time you need my help, please call out my name. My name is Late of the Jungle. At this moment, Fadla says, when I saw the horses come towards Abu Abdullah, I called out, O Late, come and help us at this moment. The lion came and protected Abu Abdullah, and Lady Zainab said to Fadla, O Fadla, what happened after that? Fadla said, but the lion then removed himself, thinking he had protected Abu Abdullah. Umar bin Sa'd then told them, go back and trample on the body of Abu Abdullah. They all went back and trampled on the body of Abu Abdullah, leaving no area available on his body which was not trampled on. They broke every bone in the body of Abu Abdullah. The horses would go forth and come back and trample again, until they trampled over 10 times for them backwards on the body of Abu Abdullah. At this moment, Umar bin Sa'd ordered them to go and burn the tents of the companions of the ladies of Abu Abdullah. They burned the tent, but one of the daughters of the tent came out of the tent. She came out with her hair burning because part of the tent had held onto her hair. She came out and she met someone called Humayd. Humayd was one of the narrators at the time. Humayd comes to her and he says to her, may I ask you who you are? She looks at him and she says, do you mind if I ask you who you are? He says that I am a person who has come to witness Karbala. She says to him, are you with us or are you against us? He says, I am a neutral person in Karbala. I am neither with you nor am I against you. She then looks at him and says, can you then please tell me where Najaf is? He says, so why do you need to know where Najaf is? She says, so I can complain to my grandfather Ali ibn Abi Talib and tell him what they did to my father on the battlefield in Karbala. So I can complain to him and say that they burnt our tent and that part of the tent that was burnt burnt my die here as well, and I am only a few years of age. Zaynab comes to Sukaina, she wakes up Sukaina, she says to her, Sukaina, we are going to have to leave, drink some water. She says to her, oh my auntie, why do you want me to drink water? Why are you giving me the water first? Zaynab says, my niece, because you are the youngest of all of us. Sukaina takes the water and says, auntie, I am not the youngest. Ali Asghar is the youngest, let me go and give him some water. She runs out of the tent and sees Ali Akbar's body laying on the ground in Karbala with his neck severed from one part to the other. She turns around and begins to cry. She looks at Rabab, the mother of Ali Asghar. Rabab is shaking the cradle but cannot see Asghar anymore in the cradle. At this moment they come to Imam Zain al-Abidin. They tell Imam Zain al-Abidin that they have to leave the land of Karbala. Omar bin Sa'ad on purpose made them all sit on the camels and the horses without even a saddle to look after the young ones when they sat on the camel and the horses. He made them sit on it. He then said, now we are going to leave the land of Karbala. But what did he make them do? He made them pass the body of each of the companions as they were leaving Karbala. When they passed the body of Abu Fadl, they did not know where the hands were of Abu Fadl. They looked at the body of Abu Fadl and saw it trampled on by each and every horse. At this moment, Khuli had control of the horses. Khuli had control of the head. Khuli had control of the head of Aba Abdullah. He lifted the head of Aba Abdullah and he put it on a spear. At this moment Khuli was leaving, but the head of Aba Abdullah fell from the spear which Khuli had put it on. Khuli at this moment comes to the ground. He picks up the head of Aba Abdullah, but he cannot pick it up. It stays on the ground. Khuli tries again to pick it up, but he cannot pick it up. He then comes to Imam Zain al-Abidin and says, Sajjad, your father's head will not rise from the ground. At this moment, Imam Zain al-Abidin, who is all chained up, who has been whipped all this time, is called over to come near the head of his father. When he comes near the head of his father, he looks at the head and says, oh father, the amount of torture they are putting me through, does it allow me to bear seeing your head on the ground in Karbala? Oh father, tell me why you will not rise from your position. Actually speak to me that I am your son and tell me what the situation is. Aba Abdullah is narrated to have replied to Imam Zain al-Abidin by saying to him, Zain al-Abidin, I will not move because Sukaina is not sitting on her camel anymore. Imam Zain al-Abidin turns around, he looks for Zaynab, he says, Zaynab, where is Sukaina? We have to leave Karbala. At this moment Zaynab looks and cannot see Sukaina on her camel. Zaynab looks around, Shimr bin Joshan comes and whips Bibi Zaynab. Shimr comes and strikes Bibi Zaynab. Zaynab says to him, Shimr, please let me just look for Sukaina, I cannot find Sukaina. He says to her, Zaynab, find her quickly before I whip you again. She runs out, she cannot find Sukaina until she finds Sukaina sitting there, a lady in black cloth. This lady in black cloth is patting the head of Sukaina. Zaynab comes and he says, oh lady, I thank you very much for looking after Sukaina. Sukaina has not been patted on the head since her father died. Oh lady, do you mind telling me who you are? Because I do not recognize you. At this moment the lady turns around to Zaynab and says, Zaynab, do you not recognize your mother when you see your mother in Karbala? Oh Zaynab, do you not recognize the lady who brought you up? Oh Zaynab, do you remember when I passed away and was martyred? You held on to my feet as I was on the bed because of the scar. Oh Zaynab, do you not see your mother is here looking after you? At this moment Zaynab picks up Sukaina, she puts Sukaina on the camel and they head towards the land of Kufa. As they enter the land of Kufa, you can imagine the scene. The people of Kufa have come out. They are gathered around each and every single palace in Kufa. The people have come out of their homes. Just imagine, brothers and sisters, Zaynab does not have her hijab anymore. Just imagine, brothers and sisters, Kulthum does not have her hijab anymore. Just imagine, brothers and sisters, Sukaina has chains around her feet. At this moment when they enter, each of the head enters. The first head, which is on the spear, is that of Abu Abdullah. It is followed by the head of Abu Fadl al-Abbas. It is followed by the head of Qasim. Then it is followed by a head which everyone, when they see that head, they said that is the head that resembles Rasulullah. Whose head is that one on the spear which looks like it's been trampled on? Please tell us whose head that one is and who the mother is. Because if the mother saw that head belonging to that youth, that mother would surely have cried if she was there in Karbala. At this moment the mother of Ali Akbar cries, ah, that is the head of my son. None of you saw what happened to my son and the way he was trampled on. They take the heads in towards Kufa. Khuli is in charge of the head. He takes the head of Aba Abdullah. Khuli was the custodian of the head. He takes the head of Aba Abdullah. He puts the head of Aba Abdullah in his house. He then puts the head in the oven and he puts a pair of earrings underneath his bed. At this moment, he tells his wife that I have come from the land of Karbala. He sleeps that night with his wife, but his wife has a dream in the middle of the night. She sees Fatima al-Zahra in her dream. When his wife sees Fatima al-Zahra, Fatima al-Zahra says to her, oh wife of Khuli, how could you have the head of my son in your house? And how can you not look after the head of my son when it is in your house? Oh wife of Khuli, ask your husband Khuli, who do the earrings belong to? And then he will tell you exactly what my granddaughter went through in Karbala. She woke up, she looked at Khuli. She said, Khuli, where is the head of Aba Abdullah? Khuli said, the head of Aba Abdullah is in the oven. She says to him, Khuli, how could you have the arrogance to put the head of Aba Abdullah in an oven? And then she says to him, Khuli, where are the earrings? He says to her, how do you know about the earrings? She says to him, don't worry, just tell me where are the earrings. Khuli says, the earrings are underneath my pillow. At this moment she says to him, Khuli, how did you get these earrings? He says, there was a girl in Karbala called Sukaina. There was a girl in Karbala named Sukaina. She ran out of her tent on the night of the 11th. She ran out of her tent on the night of the 11th. I came near her. I said to her, give me those earrings. She said to him, Khuli, please. These are my earrings, but if you want them, I will give them to you. Just be patient with me. He said, I did not have the patience. I came to those earrings and pulled them off the ears of Sukaina. That is where I got the earrings from. She said to him, Khuli, not only do you own the head of Aba Abdullah, but you are willing to rip off the ears of the daughters of Rasulullah. At this moment, Khuli, she leaves him. They are invited the next day in the palace of Ibn Ziyad. As they walk in, everyone asks, these people resemble Al-Muhammad. Who are these people? Zainab comes out and she says, woe be to you, O people of Kufa. You did not honor your pledge of allegiance. You are the ones who are the cause of the blood of Aba Abdullah. You stood there motionless while the son of Rasulullah was being beheaded in Karbala. You have forgotten the family of Rasulullah. Ibn Ziyad looks at Zainab and says, this is what you deserve. Zainab looks at him and says, what we have is prophethood and imamah, and it is in our line. At this moment Ibn Ziyad says, kill her. I am not happy with the way that she answers me. Ibn Ziyad and a 7-year-old son next to him, and next to the 7-year-old laid the head of Aba Abdullah. Aba Abdullah's head was right next to the 7-year-old. The 7-year-old son comes to Ibn Ziyad and he says to him, father, please do not strike that lady who is sitting there. He says to him, my son, why should I not strike her? Who are you to tell me? He says, father, only when you said you were going to kill her, I saw the head of that man go towards her and point towards her. Father, do not touch that lady because she is alone here in the land of Kufa. She has no one to be alongside her. In the land of Kufa, they are alone. Ibn Ziyad recognizes that the people of Kufa are being distracted by the presence of Al-Muhammad. He keeps them in a prison in the land of Kufa while they are in the prison. A prison guard comes and knocks towards the prison door and tells Imam Zain al-Abidin that he has to speak with him. Imam Zain al-Abidin comes to him and says, "How can I help you?" He says, "Zain al-Abidin, please tell your woman not to come out in the night and start crying, because Ibn Ziyad will come and finish them off." At this moment, Imam Zain al-Abidin looks at him and he says, "My woman cannot come out in the night. They have been remaining in the prison all this time. Which woman are you referring to in the middle of the night?" He said to him, "Zain al-Abidin, in the middle of the night, there is a lady who is wearing black in the middle of the night, standing outside the prison. I do not know who she is, but she is crying in a voice that I've never heard anyone cry." Imam Zain al-Abidin looks at him, he says, "Show me her. Once you show me her, I'll be able to tell you who she is." The next moment, he comes out in the middle of the night. The prison guard comes to him and he says, "Zain al-Abidin, that lady is there, come out and see her." Imam looks one way, he sees Zainab is in the prison. He looks another, he sees Kulthum in the prison. He comes out of the prison wondering who it could be. When he comes out, Imam Zain al-Abidin, he looks at Zainab and says, "Zainab, your mother is sitting alone outside the prison. Zainab, go and sit with your mother because she is crying tears that would overflow a nation if it was allowed to. Zainab, go and sit with your mother because she remembers the neck of Aba Abdullah, but Aba Abdullah is not with her anymore." At this moment, Ibn Ziyad orders that they are taken towards Sham. He orders that they leave the premises because the people of Kufa are being distracted. Ibn Ziyad then comes out and he says, "Take them towards Sham." They are led out towards Sham. Zainab on the way to Sham is being whipped by the soldiers of Ibn Ziyad. Sukaina is being whipped and taken from one way and the other. Sajjad is being crippled from the amount of torture that he is facing. On their way to Sham, they stop at a monastery. When they stop at a monastery, the monk comes out. The monk comes out and he asks, "Who are these people?" The reply comes that these people are Khawarij. They are evil people. They have been captured as prisoners from the land of Karbala. The monk says, "So what do you want?" Ibn Ziyad's army say, "We would like to come here for one night. Just look after us for one night." At the moment, the monk says, "No problem, you can stay here." But then the monk looks around at the prisoners and he looks at one head in particular which is sitting on the spear. The monk comes to the army of Ibn Ziyad. He says, "Oh, army of Ibn Ziyad, can I ask you for one thing?" They say, "What is it?" He says, "There is that head on the spear. Can you please tell me whose head that is sitting on the spear?" At this moment they reply to him by saying that that is the head of the leader of the rebels. "You do not need that head." He says, "No, please give me that head. Let me just keep it for one night." He takes the head in towards the monastery. As he takes the head in towards the monastery, he does not recognize whose head it is, because the head has so many arrows and so many marks of blood. He just wants to taste and understand whose head it is. He takes the head into the monastery, he begins to watch the head, he then suddenly recognizes whose head it could be. He says, "I ask you in the name of Isa and the mother of Isa, say who you are." He doesn't receive a reply. He then says, "I ask you in the name of Muhammad and the daughter of Muhammad, please tell me who you are. Inform me, I am a monk, just tell me who you are." At this moment he says, "Ana Aba Abdullah. Look what they've done to me, oh monk, they have left me on the spear." At this moment the monk looks and he says, "Ya sahib al-ra's al-ladhi fawq al-qalaa marfu' hadha salamun min muhibbin qalbuhu majruh." Oh owner of the head which sits on the spear, this is a salam from someone whose heart is completely broken. He begins to wash the head of Aba Abdullah. He then comes to the prisoners and he says, "Handcuff me and put me in chains. I want to die alongside the prisoners and the companions of Aba Abdullah." And now they are led towards the gates of Sham.
As they are led towards the gates of Sham, the head of Abu Fadl al-Abbas continues to fall on the floor. The soldiers of Ibn Ziyad pick up the head of Abu Fadl and put it back on the spear. But the head of Abu Fadl continues to walk on the floor, continues to fall on the floor. They put it up and they put it back on the spear. The head falls again on the floor. They try to pick it up, but it won't sit on the spear. They then hang the head of Abu Fadl on the neck of the horse. They come to Zainab and they say to her, Zainab, why does Abu Fadl's head not sit on the spear? At this moment, Imam Zain al-Abidin answers by saying, Abu Fadl always promised Zainab that he would never ever see a day where he would see her without hijab. Abu Fadl cannot bear to stay on a spear when Zainab doesn't have her hijab on. Therefore, Abu Fadl always wants to ensure that his head is on the ground so that Zainab and Sukaina do not complain to him. How can he reply to Sukaina on that day when Sukaina is alone and no one is there for her? At this moment they go towards the land of Sham. When they enter the land of Sham, Umm Kulthum says to Shimr ibn Dinjoshan, Oh Shimr, please do not allow us all to enter from one gate, because everyone will recognize us. Shimr says, I do not care, you are going to have to enter from one gate. As they enter the land of Sham, as they come into the land of Sham, one of the people of Syria comes towards them and he says, May Allah curse you rebels, may Allah curse you Khawarij who have gone against Rasulullah. Imam Zain al-Abidin looks at him and he says, Oh person, may I ask you one question? The person says to him, What is your question? He says, Sir, have you ever read the verse, Innama yuridu Allah liyuthhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahli al-bayt wa yutahhirukum tathira? He says, Yes, I have. He says, Have you ever read the verse, La as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-mawaddata fi al-qurba? He says, Yes, I have. He says, Have you ever read the verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u al-rasul wa ulil amr minkum? He says, Yes, I have. He says, Sir, who do those verses refer to? He says, I am not sure. He says, Sir, let me tell you who they refer to. They refer to my father and my grandfather. They refer to my father who was butchered on the land of Karbala. That person begins to cry once he recognizes Al-Muhammad. They are taken towards the court of Yazid. They enter the court of Yazid. Yazid is sitting near the head of Aba Abdullah. Yazid is playing with the lips of Aba Abdullah. Yazid looks at the beard of Aba Abdullah. He says, Hussein, where are you now to come and stop me from what I am doing? He does this all purposely in front of all of them. Yazid then asks him in the Joshan, can you tell me who is here? He gets the reply that that one over there is Zainab. He says, and who is that one there? He says, that one is Rabab. He then asks, who is that one there? He says, that one is Umm Farwa. He says, who is that one there? He says, that one is Umm Layla. He says, who is that little one over there? At this moment the reply is, that is Hussein's beloved one called Sukaina. Yazid says, oh, Sukaina? Sukaina, come here, let me speak with you. I heard your father used to love you very much. I heard your father used to hug you a lot. I heard your father used to always care for you. Now look at what I'm doing to your father. Yazid Mal'un begins to play with the lips of Aba Abdullah. He begins to pat Aba Abdullah on his head in front of Sukaina. He says to her, Sukaina, if your father truly loves you, let him come now and protect you. Let him show something to you. Sukaina comes towards her father's head and she says, Father, look what Yazid is doing to me in Sham. Yazid is teasing me over here in Sham. Father, please emerge and show me something. It is narrated at this moment the eyes of Aba Abdullah open towards Sukaina. But when they open, Sukaina looks inside his eyes and says, Father, how many arrows went into your eyes and there is so much blood in your eyes? Father, tell me, what did they do to you in Karbala? Father, what position did they leave you in Karbala? Zuljanah came back to me, but I didn't see you. At this moment, Yazid ibn Muawiyah tells them to quieten. When he tells them to quieten, he explains to the people that these are the rebels. They are not part of our belief. At this moment, they introduce themselves. He says, Imam Zain al-Abidin says, Ana Zain al-Abidin Ali ibn al-Husayn. Yazid says, but we killed Ali ibn al-Husayn. At this moment the reply comes, no, you killed my brother Ali Akbar and you killed Ali Asghar. But I remain alive until today. Then Imam Zain al-Abidin begins his speech in the land of Sham. Those of you who know us, he begins by saying what? He says, Allah has granted us six and favored us with seven. Allah has granted us benevolence and purity and patience. Allah has granted us the love of our followers, the followers of Al-Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with seven. He has favored us with Rasulullah. He has favored us with Ali ibn Abi Talib. He has favored us with Fatima al-Zahra. He has favored us with Imam Hassan. He has favored us with Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. He has favored us with Hamza. He has favored us with Ja'far. Then he moves on to saying, those of you who know me, know me. And those of you who don't, let me tell you who I am. I am the son of Mecca and Mina. I am the son of Zamzam and Safa. I am the son of the one who performed the Tawaf and the Sa'i. I am the son of the one who led the angels in prayer. I am the son of the one who was taken by Burak through the air. I am the son of the one who led the angels in Sidrat al-Muntaha. I am the son of Muhammad al-Mustafa. The people begin to cry as he continues by saying, I am the son of Ali al-Murtaba, the one who fought with two spears and who pledged two allegiances. I am the son of the man who fought in Badr and Hunayn. I am the son of the man who was the crown of the patient ones and the patient of the weeping ones and the most honorable of men and the most lofty of men, the one who used to always recite his prayers and the great one from Al Yasin. I am the son of the man who was assisted by Mikael and Jibrail. I am the son of the man who fought the aggressors until they said La ilaha illallah. I am the son of the man who was the arrow against the hypocrites of Allah. I am the son of the man who was the owner of the treasures of the wisdom of Allah. I am the son of the man who looked after the knowledge of Allah. I am the son of a Mekki and a Madani and a Muhajiri and an Abtahi. I am the son of a Shajari. I am the son of a Badri and an Uhudi. He says, I am the son of the man who was the most patient, the lion of Hijaz and the master of all the Arabs. I am the son of the man who was the inheritor of the Mashra'i and the father of Hassan and Hussein. He then moves on to saying, I am the son of Fatima al-Zahra, Sayyid al-Nisa al-Alameen, the lady who was deemed virgin and pure, until he gets to the point where he says, I am the son of the man who was martyred on the plains of Karbala. I am the son of the man who continues to cry until today. I am the son of the man for whom the jinns and the angels continue to cry until today. I am the son of the man whose body lays alone at this moment on the ground of Karbala. The people begin to cry. The people continue to cry. Yazid at this moment says, recite the adhan. At this moment the adhan is recited. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam Zain al-Abidin says, I testify that there is no greater Lord but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. At this moment Imam Zain al-Abidin says, my eyes and my ears and my tongue and my mouth testify that there is no God but Allah. And then he says, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulallah. Imam Zain al-Abidin looks at Yazid and he says, oh Yazid, is Rasulallah your grandfather or is he mine? If he is your grandfather, can you tell me why you killed Aba Abdullah on the land of Karbala? Can you tell me why you left Aba Abdullah thirsty on the land of Karbala? Yazid tried to put down the situation. Next to him he had a Roman envoy. This Roman envoy had come because Yazid had told him that we're having a special party. This Roman man came and he said, Yazid, do you mind telling me who those pure people are who are standing there? He said to the Roman, those people are not pure. These are our enemies. He then says to him, Yazid, how can they be enemies when they have a four-year-old sitting there crying for her father's head? At this moment he says, no, they are our enemies. The Roman envoy says, just tell me who their names are. He says, that is Ali and that is Zainab and that is Sukaina and that is Ruqayya. He then at this moment says, are they the family of your Prophet? He says, yes, they are. He says, Yazid, how could you kill the family of your prophet? I am a Christian person, but I will tell you one thing. The donkey which Isa sat on, the prince of that donkey, remain in my family until today, because we honored the family and we honored the donkey of Isa. But Yazid, you haven't shown no mercy for the family of your prophet. He then says to him, how dare you speak to me like that? Do you know who I am? I am Yazid, the son of Muawiyah. He says, I do not care. I am going towards the religion of Ahl Muhammad. He says to him, why? He said, because last night in my dream, I saw Rasulullah saying to me that you will join my son on the land of Karbala and that you will be amongst us on the day of judgment. At this moment, Yazid begins to play with the head of Aba Abdullah in order to mock the children of Aba Abdullah. What then happens is, his wife comes out, a maid of his comes out. She says, Yazid, stop playing with the head of Aba Abdullah. Yazid says to her, why should I stop playing with the head of Aba Abdullah? She says, Yazid, because in my dream last night, I saw Fatima al-Zahra beg me and say to me, how could you play with my son when you know Rasulullah used to look after him? Yazid, stop playing with the head of Aba Abdullah. Yazid tells her to move out of the way. That night, Yazid bin Muawiyah, he goes into his sleep. While he is asleep, there is a child which cries in the prison of Sham. Yazid wakes up and he says, my soldiers, who is that child that cries in the prison of Sham? At this moment, they come to the prison and they find out that it is a young girl by the name of Ruqayya. This young girl, Ruqayya, says, all I want is the head of my father, Aba Abdullah. Yazid says, what does she want? The soldiers say that she wants to see the head of her father. Yazid says, then take her the head of her father. Show her the head of her father. When Ruqayya sees the head of her father for the first time since Karbala, she says out loudly, father, is this the way that you leave me as an orphan to sit alone in Sham? Father, is this the way that you leave me when you always promised you'd be alongside me? Oh my father, is this the way they treat an orphan when the orphan is alone without her father to protect her? It is at that moment Zainab comes and says to her, Ruqayya, wake up, wake up. Ruqayya has knocked her consciousness out of her love for her. No one understands what Al-Bayt al-Rasul went through. 7 days they remain in Sham until eventually they are taken out of Sham in order that they return towards Medina. But on the way to Medina, they have to pass by a land called Karbala. They have to pass by a land called Karbala. As they approach Karbala, they come near the land where Aba Abdullah's head remains in Karbala. They come near the land where Abu Fadl's hand are separated from his body. They come near the land where Qasim's body has been mutilated. They come near the land where Ali Akbar's chest is half open because of the spear that hit him. As they enter the land, Imam Zain al-Abidin rushes towards the body of his father and he begins to hug the body of his father. He hugs the body of his father and he says, father, I am so sorry that for 40 days I left your body alone in Karbala. He says, father, I am so sorry that I've left your body alone in Karbala for 40 days. This is not the way a son is obedient to his father. But father, they have put me through tests and trials. At this moment, the hadith narrates that his father calls back to him and says, Zain al-Abidin, before you bury me, go and bury Ali Asghar. Because Ali Asghar's body is too small to be left out on the plains of Karbala. Go and bury his father, my son. At this moment, he replies to his father by telling his father, father, leave the son of yours, Ali Asghar, on my chest. Leave your friend Ali Asghar as my responsibility. Father, the heat of the arrow still burns inside me. Oh, father, leave me to bury him. At this moment, Imam Zain al-Abidin sees Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari. He says to him, Jabir, do you know what they did to my father on the land of Karbala? Jabir at this moment is blind. He says to Zain al-Abidin, Zain al-Abidin, lead me towards where your father is. Jabir does not know what they've done to Abu Abdullah. He comes and sits near the body of Abu Abdullah. He says, Ya Abu Abdullah, this is your Uncle Jabir who saw you grow up. Please reply to me and tell me what they did to you over here. But there is no reply from the body of Abu Abdullah. Ahabib lam yujib habibahu. He says in this way that a loved one does not reply to his loved one in Karbala. Jabir bin Abdullah goes unconscious at this moment out of his love for Abu Abdullah. They are then buried. All the bodies are buried. They are taken towards Medina. As they enter Medina, Imam Zain al-Abidin says, put up your tents. Let us remember some of those who have passed away. But he sees Fatima al-Sughra walking towards him. Sughra, who wasn't taken by Abu Abdullah. Sughra comes towards him. Imam Zain al-Abidin says to Zainab, he says, Zainab, bear patience and tell Sughra what they did to her father in Karbala. Zainab sees Sughra coming towards her. Sughra says, Auntie Zainab, where is my father who used to hug me before I sleep? Where is the father who used to pat my head before I sleep? Where is the father who has promised me that he'd come back after Kufa and that he would come back and send his regards to me? And this moment Zainab hugs Sughra and says, Sughra, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She says, Sughra, your father was beheaded in Karbala. At this moment, Umm al-Baneen comes out. She comes out and she says, where is Abu Abdullah? They say to Umm al-Baneen, Abbas has passed away. She says, where is Abu Abdullah? They say to Umm al-Baneen, Ja'far has passed away. They say to, she says, where is Abu Abdullah? They say to Umm al-Baneen, Uthman has passed away. They say, she says, where is Abu Abdullah? At this moment they explain to Umm al-Baneen, Abu Abdullah, who you looked after for so long, is now buried alone in Karbala. And she begins to cry for Abu Abdullah. She cries for one continuous year. Which when she cries, she says, Wallah, I will never cry for my Abbas, because my Abbas promised me that he would use his hands to protect Abu Abdullah. When Imam Zain al-Abidin heard this, he came to her and he said, Umm al-Baneen, Abba father did use his hands in Karbala, but the opposition severed his hands from his body. Abba father did stand there in Karbala, but the opposition put arrows into his body.